Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldassira.
Hello.
I'm Joe Isles. We're back, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Talk about video games and stuff. Let's do it. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. I've missed doing this. Technical issues. Actually, I haven't missed it because we have been doing it. It's just no one's ever heard it because we keep losing everything. And we'll probably lose this one, but we'll see. I am all right. I haven't actually been playing all that much, to be honest. Like, ever since like the rush earlier this year of all of those great games that came out, I've just kind of haven't found anything that's really hooked me in the same way as those other games did. So I have been playing stuff, but not with like the fever or fervor that I was earlier this year. So
sure.
Yeah, but I did play through all of Horizon.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to talk about Horizon for like the fifth time?
Sure. I mean, I'll just... I finished it now, so at least I'll never talk about it again. Even if this podcast gets lost, it's never getting brought up again until the end of the year. But yeah, I liked it overall. It was like an open world game in every way, exactly what you'd expect from like a Western open world game. So like, I don't think that style of game is really for me. Like, there's been a few standouts here and there. Like, I really like the Infamous games, for example, because I think the traversal is really fun, and I really love The Witcher 3. But mainly based on like the story and characters, like the exploration and gameplay don't really do a whole lot for me. And this was much the same. I think the side content was nowhere near as strong as something like The Witcher in terms of like the storytelling and characters and stuff like that. But the actual core story was like really interesting. It presents like some pretty interesting questions up front. I mean, if you just watch any of the trailers, you're like, what the fuck? It's like, it's tribal cultures and there's like robot dinosaurs and stuff. What's going on? And it kind of answers all of your questions and all of the main characters' questions in a really satisfactory way, which surprised me. Because, you know, most of the time in most media, like, the questions and the mystery are normally more interesting than the answers. Whereas I think this actually delivered on the mystery, like the answers actually delivered. So that was really, really nice. I knocked the gameplay down easy in the last mission because it was just like, there was like, not quite a turret sequence, but it was kind of a turret sequence. And a couple of other just like, why is there this huge difficulty spike at the end? Like, I just don't understand. Just let me finish the game. But other than that, like a lot of people really, really love the gameplay in Horizon, and I can see why. There's a lot of strategy to it and stuff, but you know, I'm just shooter type things just aren't really for me, I think. It didn't really do it for me on a gameplay level, but overall, I think it was a really, really solid game, and I enjoyed it overall. And that's pretty much it for me.
Been dipping. I find it interesting there, but... that you were like, "Here's some open world games I like," and then you didn't say Zelda.
Well, yeah, I said Western, but like, yeah, Zelda is like, right, okay. I meant like Horizon came out in a pre Breath of the Wild world.
Yeah,
so okay. I thought it would be fair to compare it to other games of that era, because I think Breath of the Wild has really changed the game in a lot of ways. Every time I was like up any kind of height in Horizon, I died so many times because I just ran and jumped off and held the X button, expecting to glide, like in Breath of the Wild. And it doesn't have that. Like, all of like the collectible things and little side missions just felt like a chore, because it was like, oh god, I've got to figure out the very specific path to like move around this cliff to get up to this part. And it was like, ugh. Whereas Breath of the Wild, you just run and jump and start climbing, you know? And I don't know. I think it's going to be really hard for a lot of people who've played Zelda to go back to a traditional open world kind of thing. But that's just my opinion, though.
I think... Metal Gear Solid also did open world really well, or like semi-open world in 5.
I think some of the parts of Metal Gear, like in retrospect, would have worked just as like big standalone levels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the individual bases were really, really well designed and really, really interesting, but getting between them wasn't always great. Like sometimes it was. But I think it got old quite quickly. Well, not quite quickly. I played that game for like 50 hours and had a really good time. But it, you know, it was quite repetitive, and like it wasn't really about exploration as much as kind of engaging in those bases in your own way. Like, I don't think it being open world was the main thing that made that game good.
Ground Zeroes was probably the best part of that game, like in terms of gameplay.
Like exactly. Like if it was just like, oh, it's 20 missions like Ground Zeroes, and like the similarly sized areas, but you can't walk between them. You just got to select them from a menu or whatever. Like, it would have been just a stronger game, probably, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, besides the point, Ryzen's pretty good. How about you? What you been playing?
I have been playing Super Metroid. I've been playing quite a few Metroidvanias, in fact.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Just because it's a genre that I have never managed to enjoy pretty much on any level. I've played a decent amount of Symphony of the Night before. Like, Shantae, I played it for a bit and then got bored of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just... A big thing about those games is backtracking through areas you've already been multiple times, and a lot of hidden stuff that sometimes you need to progress. So it's backtracking just to maybe possibly be able to find something that'll allow you to go further, which is just like head banging against the wall, frustrating and not really fun, just kind of a waste of time.
Sure.
That's basically how I felt about Metroidvanias going in. So I played Super Metroid and my opinion has changed significantly. I still think there's problems with the genre, but Super Metroid kind of fucking kills it.
Yeah, and that game's fantastic, man.
Maybe the first game in the genre? Is it? Or does Metroid, do the previous Metroid games play like that?
I think the first Metroid's like pretty similar. Yeah, I don't really understand why it's called Metroidvania instead of just like, it's like Metroid. You know what I mean? Because like the old Castlevania games aren't like that at all, and it's kind of like if anything, Symphony of the Night is a Metroid game, you know?
Derivative, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the dog form in, or the wolf form, whatever it is in Symphony of the Night, is just like a weird, unnecessarily like extra button to press for a sprint ability, you know? Like it's like it works exactly the same as Samus's sprint. Super sprint, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you
turn into a dog because you're a vampire.
Yeah.
Or a wolf, whatever.
It's cool.
It's okay. Let's do a Super Metroid for now, because I've got a lot of gripes with Symphony of the Night. Super Metroid feels very, very meticulously designed.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, in terms of the environments being really memorable, the room design being really memorable. So music, when you're going back, more so in terms of level design, when you're going back with an ability, you can go back and be like, hang on, I remember this area, and this area leads to this area, and then I can get up to be able to get this door open. Like, I wasn't very rarely checking the map to figure out where to go. I would look at it and be like, okay, I need to get to there, and then I would just go. You know, whereas Symphony of the Night, I'm like, okay, check the map. Three doors up, I need to go through. Okay, go through those three doors, then check the map again. Okay, I'm going the right way. Like,
I know what
constantly
you're saying.
because like Symphony of the Night in comparison is like this massive bloated castle which you can go to pretty much anywhere from the start. Like you can go right around the entire map, and then get some items, and then go right around the entire map again to find out what you missed. And it's really big, and it's also all a castle. I know there's like different environments and stuff.
There's the catacombs.
Yeah. But it's not like it's not as striking as
it really isn't.
Metroid is. Yeah. It's like this is an entirely new themed area within this planet that is like markedly different to everything else. So like Super Metroid does like a really good job of being that game. Because I guess it's not like of the genre. It is the genre pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
I found it really difficult at the start to figure out... There's just a lot of secret stuff, and I thought like it was really clumsily done in Metroid until I got about halfway through and I got used to the format of where it was. Like, there's probably something there.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of that is just the nature of how game design's changed over the years. And like, I don't mean to be like, oh, everything's more hand-holdy now, but it kind of is, and for better and worse, right? So I just think it's of its time in that respect. Like, oh, if I shoot this random brick, then there'll be rockets there. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I found it really, really difficult at the start as well. Like, when I first played Super Metroid, I was the why can't Metroid crawl person, you know, pretty much. And then, like you said, like, you do just kind of get used to it. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, this was made, like, 25 years ago or whatever, or 22 years ago. So you just kind of get into that mindset after a while. But there are a lot of cues.
There's a lot of cues to, hey, there's something here, maybe.
Yeah.
You can destroy, like, there's, like, a crack in the ground. I'll probably drop a bomb there and see what's going on just in case. Or you'll do the sprint across a room and, like, the floor will appear as something else that you can blow up. Like, it's not, like, really, really cryptic. There is ways of figuring out.
Yeah,
and then
true.
Eventually you get the x-ray to be able to just scan everything.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a couple problems with it, like, towards the end on the way to Ridley. Like, you know how you can't go back because the room fills up with lava behind
you?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that bit, yeah.
Like, I was looking for a way back because I had, like, no health and I needed more
super
missiles and stuff, and I was, like, fucked, pretty much. And I was scanning everywhere to see where the way back was, and then I was like, oh, I guess Ridley is... There's a way past back after Ridley. There's not. You go back up to the top floor, and then there's a wall that you can just walk through. But if you scan it, it doesn't show that it's clear. So there's a couple bits like that, which is just really annoying.
I remember struggling to find, like, equipment and stuff when that lava filled up. Because you've got to fight, like, two really tough enemies before Ridley, don't you?
Yes.
Is that right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, they're not good. They're the ones that you have, like, 2 second windows to shoot them, to kill them.
I remember that stretch being pretty tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the hardest part of the game by far.
Yeah.
But, like, in comparison to Symphony of the Night, again, like, Symphony of the Night has shit hidden everywhere, and there's nothing to suggest that something's there. You just attack a wall and it suddenly breaks, and you're like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
Or you attack a floor, even though you don't have a standard downward attack, so you have to have an item that is useful for throwing on the ground, and you only have that item... if you found it in a candlestick and you can get replaced constantly.
Yeah.
Like, it's nowhere near as well designed.
Nah,
it
really isn't.
It's really...
I really like Symphony of the Night, but, like, shocking. I really don't see how people hold it over Super Metroid. Because a lot of people do.
That's great. The soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah, Symphony of the Night, it's great.
So is the soundtrack in Metroid, though, as well, to be fair? No, I think Symphony of the Night inches it out just a little bit, but...
Yeah.
It's a great soundtrack.
I'd have to go back and listen to them both, but I remember really enjoying both of them as I was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Both fantastic in that regard. I think they both look great as well, like, aesthetically. I think I like the look of Metroid more, though.
I think the sprites in Symphony of the Night seem really... Like, I remember them to be more detailed than they are.
Really?
They're quite basic. Yeah, they're really quite basic.
I don't know, I think they're really nice.
But it's cool how, like his poke changes to, like, an invisible thing. Sega Saturn. So.
I mean, Sega Saturn was good at doing 2D stuff, but I don't know. You gotta take that into account, I think.
What else?
Symphony of the Night. So we've talked about Symphony of the Night and Metroid. What else? You played Shadow Complex, didn't you?
Just one more thing about Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, yeah.
The knockback damage taken. I think the combat's just kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, you get knocked back, and you can't move at all until you land on the ground rather than a preset amount of time.
Yeah, sure, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So you get knocked back, and you fly. If you're in water, you're flying back for like 5 seconds until you land on the ground. And you're like, oh fucking hell, this is a slug. Or if an enemy moves really quick and you get knocked back, they might be up in your face and hit you again before you have a chance to react.
Yeah. It is hard. It's not perfect. The Medusa heads one.
Yeah. The enemy animations are really fast, whereas your animation for attacking and then blocking straight after, or attacking then dodging, is too slow to react. So it's just like it doesn't feel like a
great
game.
It doesn't feel
game.
As good.
It's just
as good.
You're meant to take damage. Like, sometimes you just can't not take damage unless you're a master of the game and you know every single little intricacy. But, like, in terms of just playing it and being like, hey, he's about to attack, so I'm gonna dodge it. Like a Dark Souls game, for example.
Yeah.
It's not even comparable. It's really, really clumsy. But I like Symphony of the Night anyway. Like, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Same, yeah. And, like, you talked about how Metroid was meticulously designed, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But there's the whole cool element of Symphony of the Night where the castle flips over, right?
I hate it. I think it's awful.
Why?
They haven't designed it well at all. It's just like, oh, you have bat form, good, because you're going to have to fly to get most of these jumps.
I suppose that's true.
Or like half of the jumps because they suck and Bat Form flies really slow and it has like a mini animation I have to watch through and then watch through when you change back into human form, and it's really bad. I think the second half, the castle flip half of the game, it just feels like Padden purely. And then there's boss battles, which...
Well, like, arguably it is, right? Because it's pretty obtuse the way you've got to figure out how to get the true ending to flip the castle, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes down to... you just have to find two rings, and then the rings say, go wear these in the clock tower or something. And then you go to, not the clock tower, you go to the clock in the middle of the map, because the clock tower is like in a totally different zone. But you know, you go to the clock in the middle of the map, and then it opens up a room, and you can drop down and get an item, which lets you see an orb above the fake final boss.
Yes, that's right. I remember.
And then,
yep.
Then you kill that, like, and it gives you...
It is
then Shaft comes out, and he's like, yo, I'm Shaft. I'm Dracula's friend, and then he flies away, and then you have to go fight him, maybe. I'm not up to there yet.
I like that game overall, though.
Me too. I think it could have been a lot smaller. Like, if all the bosses were just in the original castle, and a bit more... in the castle was the way it is, then I think it probably would be better paced, would be more enjoyable to get through.
Yeah, but maybe so.
To go through this massive castle, which is really spaced out, just to find these very specific items to progress to get through to the end of the game, to then go through the massive castle again, only upside down and less fun to navigate, just seems like crazy design decisions to me. But, you know, turns
it's
upside
not super
down.
Metroid. I'd have to play it again to, like my memory's so hazy on it because I played like 5 years ago that I would have to play it again to properly talk about it with you, but
yeah, okay,
yeah, that sounds fine. So Shadow Complex is the other one, right? Or have you played any?
Yes, Shadow Complex is if a Metroidvania game was made in 2008, which is exactly what it is, but it's like the shining example of it, of over the top handholding, really like washed out gray aesthetic,
nice
modern military kind of stuff going
on. Oh, great.
Like awful. the script is like so fucking bad that it seems like it's intentional, but it's
wasn't it,
it doesn't
the...
kind of what
it was written by the dude who wrote Ender's Game, wasn't it?
Really,
something like that. Who like came out as like a massive homophobe or something like that.
Okay,
that influences the script, or it might. I don't know. I haven't played the game.
Like, the script is like super bare bones, and it's very clear that a lot of it's been cut. But like, the dialogue is written in such a overtly campy, over the top way, but it's never shown as such. Like, they don't really get to carry that over with the tone. So it just feels like they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
It's like at the start of the game, it's like a prologue, which is never explained. It's just like a prologue that happens. You're playing as a different guy in the super suit that you eventually get. And he's like fighting some militants or some, I don't know, some guys. I think they're the villains that I end up fighting against, because like the plot doesn't really have any weight or meaning to it. But he gets beaten and he's like, but you'll never get the vice president. And then there's an explosion in the background and the evil guy goes, you mean that vice president? it's like fucking amazing, but it never really delivers on that campiness in a meaningful way.
It's not like Metal Gear,
to suggest that was intentional.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh wow, this is playing it straight. It means this.
Oh no.
And then it's like, hey, you're climbing in this cave with this girl that you just met, and you end up stumbling into the Shadow Complex, this big mm-hmm. underground base of evil people planning to take over San Francisco or something, for some reason.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like she gets captured, and they're like, "We're not spies. We're just like going around seeing what's going on. This is a cave, we're just exploring." And it's like, we're not spies. And then like the last 5 minutes of the game, she's like, oh, I was a spy the whole time. I worked for the NSA. and found a person who didn't know what was going on, but was capable of shooting a bunch of dudes in the face, like literally hundreds. I think my kill count was like 700 and something by the end, it said. Yeah, I found just found this guy who didn't know anything because, I don't know, but you saved the world, you shot some nukes at a ship and blew it up. Good job. And then the game ends and you're just like, that's literally the whole story I just told you there, pretty much.
It sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah. But also, like, every single objective, like, the game is pretty well laid out.
Yeah.
It plays like a really good Metroidvania, pretty much. There's weapons that allow you to go through different spaces in pretty cool ways. There's, like, a glue gun that you can fire in the whirring machinery to clog it up and open up spaces, that kind of thing. Mm. But you can also use it to fire at someone, then use a grenade launcher to stick it to them and then blow them up. Like, cool little things like that.
Yeah.
The world design is very generic. It's like more so than any other game I've played, of just being like, here's a fucking bunker, here's another bunker, here's another bunker. You don't really get an idea of where you are in the map at all. But it's okay, because every objective has a line drawn throughout the map to show you where to go to. So you never have to use the map. There's no exploration, really. Like, you don't have to go off the beaten path at all. It just seems like a really weirdly designed thing. But like, the actual way it plays is kind of cool. Like, it would be a decent Metroidvania on gameplay alone. But like, the exploration side of things just doesn't really pan out.
Yeah.
You don't need to. So it's just like, what's the point? Why did you make this game a Metroidvania then? Why not just make it
an old Castlevania? Or
yeah, like make that. Like a satisfying game to play. okay. But it's... Yeah, like you know, like a straight line fucking corridor platformer with combat, which is like more deeply crafted than here's some secret rooms.
Yeah,
that you can go to, but here's where you absolutely have to go. Here's every single weapon that you need. But it's pretty good. It's like a twin stick shooter as well. I played it with keyboard and mouse, so I could aim with a reticule.
Nice.
And it has like depth. Like, enemies will come from or will be hiding behind cover, like not on the same plane as you, so you can shoot at them with depth, like, rather than them just being on the same line. Yeah. So that ends up being a bit weird. Like, you'll be shooting at them and you're shooting in a straight line on the x-axis instead of shooting down towards them sometimes. But it's a cool little thing, and it's just like it's just like a twin stick shooter, so you're just fucking everyone up. And it feels good, but it's really easy as well. So they kind of got over the difficulty of building a Metroidvania that is satisfying to play by just holding your hand all the way through it, which is kind of disappointing, but it works. It was a $15 game when it came out, you know. It's not
definitely. It was an Xbox 360 for ages, wasn't it? Like, exclusive.
Yeah. So, like, it was like
the last couple of years.
It was like one of those Summer of Arcade things they did.
I think
on the Xbox. So
I remember that was like one of the reasons a long time ago. And I was like, that sounds interesting. I'd probably enjoy that game. I could probably buy an Xbox, but I still have not delivered on buying an Xbox yet. After all of these years.
It's okay. Like,
yeah,
it's like 5 hours to play through because
they tell you where to go. You get a PS4 now as well, which is pretty good. I don't know.
Can you?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it in terms of Metroidvania so far. So cool. Got Ori and the Blind Forest, Hollow Knight. I think I was going to play Momodora, but maybe not. There's a couple other ones somewhere.
There's some other Metroid games that are pretty good, like Metroid Fusion, which was recommended to you by Michael.
I've got that on my list as well. But that's not really a Metroidvania as far as I know.
It kind of is, but no. Like... Yeah, it's there's like very separate zones, so I don't know. You might like it more. There is backtracking still, but I don't know. There's like a central area, and then there's like separate zones that you go to, which mostly linear, not straight up linear, but you know, somewhere in between Metroid and like old Castlevania.
There's like branches off the main path.
Yeah, it's actual Metroidvania because it's got the Castlevania style levels too, kind of.
Yeah.
I like that game though. Cool. I don't think I've actually played anything else. I went to see Spider-Man.
How's that?
It's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Most people who are big fans of the comics...
Yeah.
Like, who've reviewed it have been like, it's the best Spider-Man by far.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It delivers... It's Spider-Man from the comics, basically, instead of superhero yep. Spider-Man, generic yep. superhero in a Spider-Man costume kind of thing.
Yeah, he's really, really great at playing mm-hmm. Spider-Man. It's a pretty good film. It made me more excited for the Spider-Man game. I was like, oh yeah, like web-slinging looks really cool, and Spider-Man's moveset is like really cool. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it made me more excited for that game. But, I don't know, I just think there's so many superhero films that it's almost impossible, even if there's a really good one, for me to get excited these days. Yeah. It's just too much. It's not special anymore. It'd be like if it was like, oh yeah, Persona 6 is out next year, and Persona 7 the next year. I'd be like, oh, I'd still be excited, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Maybe
no,
I'm just
no.
cynical that's old, how you do old man. Yeah.
I mean, like Marvel films in general are just kind of by the written by committee, right? Of being like, here's the things that we need for our audiences to enjoy a Marvel film. And it's it becomes more and more blatant. And
it does feel like that. But really? I don't know. A little bit, I think.
That's interesting.
I don't know. It is a good film. And the guy who plays Spider-Man is great at it. And they nailed the whole high school half of it really, really well. And that was mm-hmm. kind of like more entertaining than the superhero stuff a lot of the time. And the way it tied into the Marvel Universe was quite good as well. Like, I enjoyed, like, Iron Man's in it quite a lot. But, like, it doesn't feel like it's forcing it into, like, the overall fiction of the Marvel Universe. In fact, it feels a bit of the opposite, to be honest.
Cool.
He's, like, there as, like, kind of like a father figure, kind of, to Peter. But, like, not really. I don't know. It's done pretty well in that respect.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard that the Vulture's meant to be pretty good in terms of, like, why he's a villain as opposed to... What was the Amazing Spider-Man 2? Was it with Electro?
I can't remember anything about those films.
Apparently, he was a villain because he was a fan of Spider-Man, and Spider-Man
snubbed
him or something. Like apparently, it's fixed that stuff like that a lot.
Those last Spider-Man films were pretty bad, but I thought whatever he was called, can't remember his name, but he Garfield. Was really good. He was really good too. Like, he was a good Peter Parker.
Yeah, he was all right.
But mm-hmm. this one's much better overall. Yeah, like, cool. They do give the villain a bit of a reason, but I don't know. I think they could have gone... I mean, it's only like a two-hour film or whatever, but they could have gone a bit deeper with his motivations, I think. It was still very much a black-and-white comic book thing, to an extent. Like, he was given a reason, but he jumped on that reason pretty quickly, you know? Like, he went from being a pretty decent guy who was wronged to being like, right, fuck it, I'm going to start evaporating people with, like, fucking lasers. Like, but again, it's a film. It's not like a fucking 12-issue comic that they could have kind of delved into a bit more.
Sure.
I also really like the fact that they kind of ignored all of the Uncle Ben stuff, which was nice.
Yeah, like, no.
They mentioned it in passing.
Story again.
They're basically in passing. He's like, oh, my aunt's been having a really hard time recently, and it's almost definitely because of that. But that's it. That's all they mention, and it's like because everyone knows.
Yes, everyone knows.
It's just totally pointless recapping all that stuff. So that was good. And yeah, that's about it. That's all I've really been up to recently. Finished Horizon, watched Spider-Man.
Yeah, the other thing is that, like, the stakes aren't save the world. It's just like, you know, Spider-Man stuff.
It's like the Vulture stealing some, good. Basically the Vulture stealing shit from Tony Stark.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's like a Spider-Man,
Stuff. Yeah, it's cool. And I mean, I could just spoil the whole film, but I won't.
Nah.
But yeah, like, it very much focuses on, like, Spider-Man does Spider-Man stuff. The Avengers do Avengers stuff. Like, that's kind of the takeaway from it, which is, I think, a good way to tie it into the universe. It's kind of like how...
That's, like, the biggest selling point for me.
Yeah, and it's kind of like how all the Netflix shows are all, like, you know, like, Luke Cage is doing street-level stuff as well, you know?
Yes.
Like, it makes sense. Luke Cage isn't going to go and fight, like, fucking Thanos or whatever. Or maybe he will. I don't know. But you see the point. And Spider-Man's somewhere
good.
In between those two things.
Just Thanos pops in halfway through season 2 of Luke Cage.
Fucking punches him. Knocks him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We meant.
The Wu-Tang Clan. Join him in battle.
That'd be great.
They could beat Thanos.
Yeah. They just gather together and form a W with the hands and then shoot a beam at them.
Yeah.
That'll put a hole in his forehead.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So shall we let's do the news. Let's do the news.
How shall we even cover news? It's been so long. Shall we just do whatever happened this week?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I haven't done anything else. Cool. You know, E3 happened. We've done several attempts at covering
Let's just say this. The future of the Switch is looking pretty good. That was the big takeaway for E3 from me.
I'm excited for Metroid Prime 4 now that I've played Super Metroid and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Kirby. I'm excited for that too.
Kirby, yeah. Pokemon.
Pokemon. Consoles, I mean, that'd be nice. Inevitable.
And of course, Mario Odyssey just looks fucking banging.
I don't know what that game is.
It looks fantastic.
The rest of the press conferences were pretty lackluster. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was all just known quantities. Like, that's the thing.
Shadow of the Colossus remake again.
It was, like, a nice surprise. And Monster Hunter on PS4 looks pretty good, too.
Yeah,
I think it's essentially Monster Hunter 5, according to the producer. It looks really cool, actually. I've had a look at some of the gameplay stuff. But other than that, it was just like, here's Spider-Man again, and I can't even remember what Microsoft had. Here's Sea of Thieves again. Here's Crackdown again. It's just, like, all stuff that we kind of knew about.
Yeah.
But hey, it's been one hell of a year and a bit for games anyway, so that's fine.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 as well, I guess, is the big one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the cinematic. It was the first Ubisoft game I've seen in a long time where I was like, hey, this game has personality and charm. Yeah,
definitely.
Maybe I will actually play this game.
But it seems like incredibly ambitious what they're trying to do with that game. It's like on a giant scale, and I don't know if it's gonna do it for Beyond Good and Evil 1 fans. Like, it seems like it's a very different game, and a very different like scope and intention. But I don't know.
I've never played Beyond Good and Evil. I've played the start of it. And I was like, I don't. What?
I think it's kind of like a Zelda inspired type thing, right? Like, but this is kind of like a massive, like almost No Man's Sky esque scale, type game, and
interplanetary scale.
Yeah.
So, crazy shit.
Yeah.
Could be. It looks cool. Like, the concepts they're putting forward are cool, and they're actually showing off early stuff.
Yeah, more power to them if they deliver on it, but who knows?
I think that could even be, like, a PS5 game, you know?
Yeah, probably. It looks really far out. But, yeah. Okay, then. News.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts 3 has got a release window, a release year.
Yeah. That, 2018. That's incredible. Like, it's got a release, yeah. I mean,
and has a Toy Story world.
Yeah, it looks, the animation looks insane. Insanely good. Yeah, I mean, Square have been getting better and better about not giving dates out until they're ready, I think.
Yeah.
They've been trying not to announce things years in advance other than Final Fantasy VII, which is probably going to be like 2021 at this rate. But I believe they'll hit it next year. It looks nice. I don't know how much I want to immerse myself into Kingdom Hearts lore before this comes out, because I feel like I should know a little bit about what's going on. But at the same time, those other games don't look super appealing to me.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
But like Hercules World, Toy Story World, I'm in.
Yeah.
The game looks good. Like the gameplay looks really fluid and fun. They've got like little. It seems like a lot of the ideas that they had early on for Final Fantasy 15 are coming in. Like they were using mechs and shit in the Toy Story world.
Yeah, for Versus, you mean? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Versus.
I think it is the team. I think when everything got shuffled around, I think it's pretty much the Versus team doing Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, looks potentially cool. Yeah.
It seems as though they got Pixar in to help with the animation of the Toy Story characters, because they look like Toy Story 1 tier animation. Well, you know, somewhere in between, because obviously Toy Story 1 animation is aged, but...
It looked really impressive. Very good graphics. Yeah, it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. I like Tam's Japanese voice. Not as good as Hades' Japanese voice in the last Kingdom Hearts trailer, which just sounded like James Woods
for Japanese. It's amazing.
Fucking incredible stuff.
It's really good.
Alright. What else?
The new 3DS has come to the end of its production.
Oh wow, that didn't last long.
So, EU, it's over. NA, I think definitely Japan, in Japan, yeah. It ended earlier this week.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously the 3DS XL, the 2DS XL, both the new 3DS XL and new 2DS XL, sorry, are still in production, sorry. So, you know, it's not really surprising. The 2DS XL, the new 2DS, Nintendo's naming conventions
yes.
are frustrating.
It's terrible.
The new 2DS XL is basically replaced the 3DS, the new 3DS, which is okay. understandable because, like, who gives a fuck about 3D? Not me. And if you really did, you can get the new 3DS XL.
Okay.
Yes, that's how
maybe.
It's
sure.
I fucking... God damn it. Switch.
Don't worry about it. Just get Switch.
Can't wait for the new Switch and the new Switch XL and the new Switch Mini.
I wish everything was on the Switch. Like, all of the DS stuff that's coming out. Because I want to play Strange Journey. That'd be fucking great. But I don't want to play on the DS. I can't.
Or Monster Hunter would be great. But we're not even getting Monster Hunter in the West.
Yeah.
Because what was it? XX...
Yeah,
freedom,
yeah, double cross freedom, whatever. Don't worry about it. It's not coming out anyway.
Again, though.
It's on Japanese. It'll be fine.
Okay. Great. SportsDirect.com has bought 25.75% of game shares after after a game had financial trouble at the beginning of the year.
I can't wait to get my zero-hour contract selling used copies of Splatoon. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's not... It's pretty bad, but like, I don't know. Game blamed their financial troubles at the start of the year on not having enough Switch units.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you put all your eggs in the Switch basket, knowing how Nintendo...
Yeah, and knowing how much of a risk, like, the Switch was in the fucking first place.
Yeah.
Like, considering how the Wii U bombed.
Madness, man.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Yeah, Sports Direct, obviously, pretty shady company. Recently, under investigation for some shady dealings.
Yeah.
Last year, were under investigation for mistreatment of employees, paying them below minimum wage. Not
all that good stuff.
A good company.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
If there's ever been a bigger reason to not shop at Game over the fact that they just overcharge for everything.
Yeah.
This will be it.
Okay, great.
Ni No Kuni has been delayed to January 2018.
Yeah, I was actually really happy about this news because, like, it was coming out a week after, like, Wolfenstein and Mario Odyssey. So, I don't know. I never would have had time to play it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... And Xenoblade comes out around that time.
Oh, fuck,
like,
yeah. Holy shit.
Lots.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's great. It's not stopping.
All right. It stopped a little bit in the middle of the year, but it's coming back with a vengeance. Now.
When?
What's out now?
Arms just came out. Tekken just came out. Splatoon's out next week.
Yeah,
three
but what
games three
am
games
I,
that I want?
Am I going to play?
It's three games that I want. Although, do you know what I realized recently? I was like, the Switch has... like, about three games that I want to buy that are out right now. But they're all fucking online-focused.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a second.
And the online system isn't even in place yet.
Isn't the best thing about the Switch the fact that I can, like, play on the Metro or play on my break at work?
Yeah.
You know?
It's
not that I've done
silly.
A lot of that, but it's like, wait a second. Like, and the good games that I really want ARMS and Splatoon, I'd like Mario Kart, but I would never sit and play them at home, probably. I'd love to play a match of ARMS... at lunchtime, but actually no, I fucking wouldn't because I like using the motion controls. But you know what I mean? Like, the appeal of the Switch is being able to, like, lie in bed and play it, not like dock at TTV and fling your arms around.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's both,
weird,
but you know,
it is both. But like, I feel like they need more single player games. I finally conceded because I was like, Zelda's enough till Mario, but it's not. Like, I need some single player stuff on the Switch soon. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah. Xenoblade will last you a while.
Yeah,
Mario.
Totally. Once Mario and Xenoblade are out, I think it'll be golden.
You're golden.
Yeah, man. Should release that.
Dota 2 tournament, the international, has beaten its own record for biggest esports prize pool ever. It's over 20 million at the moment. I don't know how much exactly.
Alright, that's a lot of fucking money, as usual.
It's always rising. I have. This is the first year since TI3, which was 4 years ago, that I have not bought anything for it.
Because there's good games out now. You don't need to worry about Dota. Japan's Dota. Back. Yeah.
Dota is a supreme game. I don't think you understand. It's a masterpiece.
One day I'll play it.
But I haven't played it in ages, and I don't really care about all the cosmetic stuff, and whatever.
Good for you.
They've taken enough of my money.
They have.
They've taken too much of my money. It's all going back to Persona now. I need to spend it all on Persona stuff.
The DLC costumes are on sale at the minute on the PlayStation.
I just don't care about that stuff. I don't really? Any physical Persona stuff.
Yeah, you're right. The most physical Persona stuff.
Yeah. And like, I don't agree with the DLC costumes. Mm. Like, you got costumes in Persona 4 and in Golden, I guess. I don't know if you get many costumes in the original. But like,
yeah.
That actually kind of added, just like, oh, I got a little thing. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer that they changed it to DLC.
That's just games.
I know.
Like,
I know.
They got to make money somehow. Like, dev costs are rising. The cost of selling the game. Like, games are still, like, the same price to buy. But dev costs are way higher. Like, the budget on Persona 5 will have been significantly higher than 4, right? Like, it's HD for starts. Like, it's just the way the industry's had to evolve to be able to sell games at a reasonable price. It sucks, but whatever.
But they also posted, like, I think there was a story I read. Atlas had it was a tiny loss last year on releasing at the year end of like March, at the end of the year. So like obviously, Persona 4 sales worldwide have just been like pretty much all profit.
Persona
5.
So
I don't know.
The loss last year because they were gearing up for the new team. Mm-hmm. You know, they were investing on training a lot of new people and recruiting a lot of new people
and recruiting people for 6 as well,
dev kits, things like that. Yeah, yeah, and recruiting people for 6, but that's all done. So, man,
No, I'm just saying they've probably made
all those Western sales
quite a
profits.
Bit of money.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well deserved as well. What a fucking
more or less.
Game.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's good.
Okay.
What Remains of Edith Finch is out on the Xbox One on the 9th of July, and I added that because that is a very good game.
Yeah, I still need to play that game.
Maybe not worth the price just because it's a short game.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in some really cool game design ideas,
I am.
Then yeah, I'd pick it up. Or you can just play it on my Steam account, John.
Think I'll run?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, cool.
It's good. I like it a lot.
I'll play that with Jess. She'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
And my final story is that 40,000 Steam accounts were banned like a day after the summer sale.
Oh my god. What happened?
Well, people bought CSGO in the summer sale so they could hack.
Ah, okay. Got you.
Yeah. That happens all the fucking time. But this is like by far the biggest ban wave that Steam's ever done in such a short period of time. So that's something. That's it. There's not much else going on, I don't think, unless you have anything to add.
No, I mean,
been following the news that much.
Me neither, really. Shenmue's getting shown next month, they've said, at Gamescom, so that's something to look forward to.
Sony at Gamescom next month?
Sony, I don't know. I think around E3, they were interviewing saying that they haven't decided, but, I mean, we're pretty close now, so I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming no. I kind of like that Sony don't go to Gamescom anymore because like it makes E3 and the PlayStation experience much stronger. Rather than spread it out across like 3 or 4 shows, it's like 2 really strong shows. Generally, this E3.
Yeah.
Bit lacking. But the past few years, I think all of the conferences have been class up until this E3. So hopefully they'll keep spacing them out. Tokyo Game Show, it'll be going ahead as always though, but it'll be pretty Japan-centric. But I'm definitely going to watch it because I'm a massive Yakuza fan now. So it's going to be cool seeing Yakuza 7 get revealed.
I need to play that game more. I've
barely
played it.
Did you play any more?
No.
So what did you get up to?
Some Yakuza boss cut his finger off.
So first chapter or second chapter or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Very early on.
I would recommend what you should do is play up until the end of the other character's first couple of chapters, because it switches every 2 chapters. So if you play up till the end of chapter 4,
and you're not like in love with it, then you're probably never gonna be.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But by 4, you'll probably be in love with it. So
I like it. I like it a lot already. It's just
okay. That's fine then.
You know, yeah. Other stuff to do.
Cool. I definitely liked it more once I'd seen a lot of both of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like once I got to like chapter 5 and I was back with Kiryu, I was like, okay, right, this is fucking so good. And that was when I couldn't stop playing it. So we'll see.
Have you seen the Castlevania Netflix show?
No, it popped up before. Like I was having my breakfast a few hours ago, and I was like, I need to watch something. And then I started watching Cowboy Bebop instead, and then I realized I needed to read at the same time as eating, like read the subtitles. Yeah. So then I just watched nothing. But I was like, I should watch real anime before I watch fake anime. That was my that was my opinion about Castlevania. But I will.
Fair
watch
enough.
It
it's weird. It's yeah? really strange. Some people I saw Alucard. Recommended. Yeah, yeah, he's in it.
Yeah,
he's like in a very, very. He's. It's based. It's not really a series. Like it doesn't. It's like here's what a Castlevania show might be like.
Yeah,
and then it ends at a point where it's like, okay, it's like a pilot. Like the entire four episodes, like a pilot episode. It's really weird, and you're like, okay, I'd probably watch this bit more.
Well, they confirmed like, another 8 episodes come next year, didn't they?
Yeah, they're getting a lot more.
That's good. That means it's probably been like pretty well received. Cool.
It's all right.
I'll have to watch it. I started watching like an anime also this morning called Elfin Lied or something like that. Elfin Led. That right. like heavily influenced that. Stranger Things. It's like fucking super violent. Like the first like 3 minutes or whatever was like some really messed up stuff. So I was like, I don't really want to watch this right now. I wasn't in the mood. It was a bit early. Bit early for some ultra violence. But I don't know. It seemed cool. Yeah. Is that it then?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to add. Video games, good.
Video games are good. Hopefully we'll be back next week, and hopefully this works.
Yeah.
Who knows? We're going to check in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Bye.